Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
This is going to be a great podcast. I have an entrepreneur with me today. I've got an entrepreneur's entrepreneur. I have Patrick Bryant with me. He's the founder of Cigarette Row, Go-To Team, which is an incredible broadcast TV company. He's had TV companies, rolling paper companies, software companies, big companies, and I'm excited to have him with me. Patrick, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, Sean. So good to be here with you.
Yeah, I never thought I'd start. I was going to rolling papers. No, TV. It's just funny. I love about entrepreneurship is once you figure out a formula, it's rinse and repeat.
Exactly. People say, oh, wow, he hit it. You know, lightning struck twice. He had two exits. It's like, no, we're not looking for lightning. We're farmers. We know how to grow and cultivate and create products that people want and know how to get them into the marketplace. So I agree with you 100%.
You know, golly, I like to take credit for nearly every cute statement ever made on my podcast, but you just came up with, I've never thought of it that way. And I mean, I've written books, but you're farmers. I love that illustration. That is so, Patrick, that is so good.
Because, well, I'll tell you another one I use when speaking is that I personally, the way I think about it, I started out in television, is that they're movie scripts, right? So I'm always in pre-production on a few ideas, and then I'm only in production. I can only be on set for one idea at a time. So I got to focus, and I got to produce that movie, and I got to make it happen. And then there's post-production, right? I'll still be talking about it for years and hopefully exit and have it in syndication. So it's just that's another analogy that I really go with.
No, I love it. And I know Go-To Team is a massive company. So we'll just, you know, let you brag a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Go-To Team.
Well, thank you. Go-To Team started in 97 and we grew it. Funny story is that we grew it to a $1 million valuation within 10 years. And I was ecstatic. I was 34 at the time and had felt like I'd hit the $1 million mark. And it was just really great. But you know who started at the same time as us was Google. And Google, same month. And by 10 years, they were publicly traded and we used their name as a verb, right?
Yeah.
So I really did wake up as a 34-year-old entrepreneur and say, what am I missing? Because while this $1 million feels good, I want to go grow and scale and really understand how to make things grow fast. I can't take another 10 years to get another $1 million company. So since then, we've done it four more times. We've got four more companies that are worth the million, at least a million valuation. And each time we've shrunk that time. Shine Rolling Papers that you mentioned, we did it in less than 18 months.
No, that's, I'm going to just dig some stuff out of you because I'm getting ready to go start mining for gold here. What's the one with, yeah, I'm going to pick your brain. So what's the one thing when you first got started that, God, if I would have known this, like you can only get one, you know, we'd like to all have about 10, but what's the one that you go, wow, I would have loved to have known this?
The scale and innovation factor of growth. And in that, I mean, if you said, I want to start a business I'm passionate about, choose your topic, right? Let's just say it's chiropractic. And you were to say, I want to start a business in chiropractic. Well, if you were to have a chiropractic firm with an office and employees, you're pretty limited in your ability to grow and scale. And it's going to take a long time to make that business go. But if you take the same passion and you create a medical device that helps people around the world in chiropractic and it's repeatable and it has innovation and they're going to, you know, need, they can buy it. Everyone in the world can buy it. It's got scale, it's got innovation, man, the sky's the limit. You've planted an oak tree, right? That can grow forever. So if I had one lens and one thing that I try to infuse young entrepreneurs with is try to look for that thing that is innovative and interesting and scalable, not just, oh, this is the easiest thing I can go do, sell my time.
And you're so right. Cause scaling there are obstacles that will just keep you from growing. You can only do so many dentist offices. I mean,
yes.
And also, you know, it's a hard model to McDonald's to turn into a McDonald's.
Well, even McDonald's was a hard model to turn into McDonald's. The reason that we think of them the way we do in that mythic launch is because they really did something amazing in scaling into all these locations. But you have to remember, they had ridiculous innovation. They were able to create new processes and think through the way food delivery happens at a restaurant in a time no one was thinking that. So if you feel that way, you're like, oh, I want to start dentist office. Well, then my thing to you is, well, what are you going to innovate the crap out of it so that you can
yeah,
scale?
Yeah, no, exactly. I it's funny because I had an entrepreneur on here who was an orthodontist, and she did that. She kind of figured out, she's a Harvard grad. She's like, well, it's too expensive to set up an orthodontic office. She found it too front. And she's like, why don't we just run it like Uber? Let us just put our chair in a dentist office. Right? Exactly. They got everything we need. They got our clients. They got the location. They got everything. We can do it at a fraction. And I'm like, and, you know, that's how you're thinking of it. She could have been an orthodontist and let's say made a $200,000 a year and whatever the case may be. And now she's running a company that's going to, you know, has a chance to scale 100 million plus.
That's exactly right.
And that's what made me think of it. When you said that, I'm like, that is exactly like the interview I recently have, is that, you know, looking at that, okay, do I really have something that is scalable?
Exactly. And I think for me, our vision that we really focus on when we're helping people think through these ideas is how are you going to be able to create some amount of scalability and innovation? And in doing those, we have this whole scale system that we kind of walk them through. Hey, look, this is what makes it innovative, and this is what makes it scalable. And now let's take that idea and really find the magic sauce.
Yeah, no, and there is a magic sauce. Okay, so now we have that. You would like to know that. And I know you'd like to translate this over to the next question I'm going to ask you, but I wanted you to answer it with a different answer.
Sure.
You can give one piece of advice to an entrepreneur. You know, somebody, you know, sees you and goes, hey, I've seen you, you know, you own this, you own that, whatever the case may be. What's the piece of advice you like to share with young entrepreneurs?
Young entrepreneurs are nascent, getting ready to start. The number one thing always is just do it. Just start something. Start where you're at. If you're capable of making cookies, then make cookies and sell them. My joke to my sons, we live on the beach, and I've said to them often the phrase, I'll never be homeless. Because at the end of the day, those people out there on the beach, they need pina coladas. So I think that if you learn in some way the process of finding a client, developing trust, which is important, right, in selling and develop a relationship with them, and then offer them a product that they actually need, and then use that to create another client, another opportunity. Once you know that customer development cycle and listening to them and iterating the product on what they want and changing the price point to make sure you can grow. Once you know that, now you're just adding zeros on the end of the thing that you're working on.
It's so funny that you say that, because there's so many entrepreneurs that start out, and I'm working with a few right now and that are doing a project for me. And it's funny, you just kind of led into that. And I sent them an email and I said, gentlemen, I'm gonna give you some free advice because I'm a client of yours right now. And you guys got something really special. You need to reverse engineer the perfect customer experience. I'm like, I love you guys, but I'm not feeling it. I go, here's a couple gaps I've already seen. Like, if you guys can reverse engineer a real high level customer experience and rinse, repeat, like customer signs on with your company. This is what we're going to do for you. Here's the timeline. This is the expectations. This is our schedule of how we're going to do it. This is who's overseeing your product. If for some reason there's a disconnect there, this is your parachute person. You know, I think like that because I own a very high-end service company, and I see people and they lack that. But I understand that you know, we both understand it. And once you can do that, you could put me in a bar. You know, I watch, you know, The Bar Rescue, and I've had him on my show, but it's the same concept. People aren't coming to your bar because you failed in the customer experience. And the reason why you're not getting good money for anything is because the experience is so low level that it doesn't warrant it.
Exactly. Exactly. I totally agree. To me, customers are everything. I'm a relationship guy, and I just feel passionately that if you take care of a customer and you figure out what they need, and you operate with trust and integrity, you're going to grow a business all day long. And it's just a pretty simple formula from there of iterate and expand the number of people that you're talking
to. It is. It's funny because I have two phones, and I have my red business phone. And I joked with my son to this. I said, this, I'm the guy to 1,000 people. And there, you know, they could be, you know, very wealthy people because I've been a really wealthy city and I've done stuff for amazing people within my company. I said, and I joked with him, I said, somebody will send me a text to, like, I'll get 2 a week. And all I have to do is answer their question, solve their problem, connect them with the right person. I mean, they trust that I can do it. I said, I will make $5,000 for a text.
Right.
For a text.
Well, and I think a lot of times you answer those questions and you help people and you move them forward. And honestly, you don't even know, you're not looking to get anything out of it, right? You just want to connect people.
Happens.
You just want to move them forward. Help them where you can. But if you do that enough, the world goes, oh, this is someone that I want to be wealthy. Like, this person's a really good person. We want them to move forward. And so when you walk back in the door to say, hey, I got an idea for a business, I'm thinking about X or Y, do you need it? Then they're like, well, if you're selling it, I'm buying it. You know, you know, they just, you build those relationships, and then you're able to really help people, which I think ultimately is what entrepreneurs do. I'll say this. I believe that entrepreneurship is the number one change agent in the world. And I'm passionate about it. And I just think helping people grow their business is the most fun thing. At Code and Trust, our software development firm, we've got clients walking in the door all day long wanting to start new apps and talk about software ideas, which we love. We think of ourselves like a preschool teacher, right? She wants her kids to be successful. She wants your kids to be successful. She wants everyone to be successful, right? She doesn't care. She's invested in the win, not in, that's her fulfilling moment, is that a kid wins, not her, that she needs it.
My daughter's a third grade school teacher. So I hear that, you know, hear that all the time. Say she'll call me at the end of the day. I said, how did it go today? Wasn't a good day today. She goes, they weren't good today. You know what I mean? But we're going to get back at it tomorrow.
She wants them, right? She just wants them to be successful. And what I love about that is that it is so pure of heart, in that you meet, all of us have teachers, right, in our life that have affected us in huge ways. And you go up to them years later, 30 years later, and you tell them what a difference they made in your life. And that's all they need. Literally what they're looking for in their life. That's their fulfilling moment. And that's how I feel about entrepreneurs and helping people grow.
Yeah, I love it. I say the one thing I said, other than faith, entrepreneurship's a great, I put entrepreneurship as number two.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I always say, other than faith, which can absolutely change your life, as we all know, without a doubt, entrepreneurship is the single greatest vehicle after that to change lives. People, you know, you look at Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, you can just keep going down the line and down the line and down the line. When I joke about, I talk about colleges, when you see buildings, they're always named after an entrepreneur.
That's exactly right. And I'll add to your statement to say that you have to have faith to be an entrepreneur, right?
Absolutely.
So faith does come first. I think even if you're, you know, having faith in a higher being, or you're having faith in yourself, or you're having faith that your ideas can work, or you can figure it out. Faith has to be there. I agree completely that entrepreneurs are really the ones who are changing the game. They're the ones, they're either doing it because they're starting a new product or service that moves the world forward, or they've already got a lot of resources because they did that many times, and now they know how to help society you know, find those solutions.
It's exciting. Again, entrepreneurship, I love it. It's absolutely changed my life and my partners and business partners and all that. And it's incredible. I am excited about the interview I have today. I have Patrick Bryan. He has founded, he's already ran one off and all off and, you know, a company after a company after a company, Cigar Row, Go To Team, Shine Rolling Papers, and then his software. What's the software company again?
So I'm currently CEO of a software development firm called Code and Trust. And the reason we call it Code and Trust, we just talked about it, is because we sell code, but we also sell trust. And we are just passionate about startups and helping corporations and entrepreneurs create early stage software. We really develop software products.
If a company needed software developed, you know, let's say that they were a company and they were trying to create an estimating software. I'm just thinking of something that somewhere relates to my business, you know, because it could streamline all our guys in the field instead of having to write things down. They go to just punch in these 9 numbers and boom, the estimate appear, you know, they can have the estimate. That would be something you guys could do.
Exactly. That's our magic, is that we help companies like that start something that hasn't existed before. We don't think of ourselves as a legacy development shop. We don't take on projects that are old code. We want to develop something that's brand new. We live kind of on the cutting edge. So we're doing a lot right now in the healthcare space. We're doing a big app for CDC. We're in the middle of a really big development for a Silicon Valley based education firm. So lots of startup entrepreneurs or business owners that you just described where, hey, we've got a process, and if we could build this software, then we could use it to make us more streamlined. But many times we try to push and help them to get to a place that they develop a piece of software that even their competitors could use, right? Because now they could become an innovative software development play that not only streamlines them, but helps streamline their industry. And now they've changed the game of their own enterprise.
My brain's going like a million miles an hour, because I have two divisions of my company that I'm looking to franchise, because I'm at the point where I'm like, it's just rinse and repeat.
Exactly.
I've got it so, they're so lucrative, and I've got it McDonald's, you know?
Yes.
I literally have it, and it's taken me a while to get there, but I have it there now. So that fascinates me. So when I go into a podcast, I like to ask questions as well. Patrick, I want to thank you so much for being on. I guess we're going to have all this stuff in the show notes because Vincent's a genius, but tell my audience how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn as Patrick Bryant. I'm on Instagram and all the places, but that codeandtrust.com is our website if they want to reach out. I talk to people all day long about their ideas and what they're moving forward. So if anybody wants to chat about something, I'm available. I love the conversation.
I love it. Patrick, thank you so much for being a guest on the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. This is what I know. If you need more marketing, you need more leads, you need more sales, go to getstartedmarketing.com. They're fantastic. That's all I can tell you. If you're not selling enough, it's because you're not attracting enough quality customers. Getstartedmarketing.com. We will talk again soon.